Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. That is Isaiah 61, verse 3b. This is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans. I'm your host, Sandra Flack. Our guest today is Jen Hook, National Director of the Replanted Ministry. Replanted brings families together for community and support through small groups. They journey together through prayer, encouragement, and celebration to cultivate loving homes for replanted children. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Sandra. Great to be here.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you on the show. And you're a therapist, a TBRI practitioner, and you've worked in the foster care system as a therapist. What led you to this line of work, working with children with trauma histories?
Yeah, so after I graduated with my master's in clinical psychology, I just really felt that I wanted to work with kids. And I wasn't quite sure what that was going to look like yet, but a friend of mine was working at a local foster care agency and had let me know about this opportunity. And so I applied. And as soon as I started sitting with these kiddos and hearing their stories of abuse or neglect and the ways that they had experienced trauma and just deep wounds, I knew this is exactly where God wanted me to be, working and walking alongside our kiddos in their healing process.
Wonderful. And the kids really need those advocates in those in that place. So,
oh, big time. Yeah.
Yeah. So originally you're from Canada, and would you share with us the story of how you came to actually stay in the U.S.?
Yeah. So I, I'm a Canadian, and so I had a visa and I was working in the U.S. I had actually just started working in the foster care system, and I was going through a really just a hard time. I'd experienced some loss, and the visa I was on was expiring, and I just kept saying to God, you know, I don't have emotional clarity right now to make a decision about whether I should head back home or stay. Like, could you make it really clear to me? And our church was hosting a Good Friday service, and we had extended an invitation to other local churches to join us. And during that time, we had an extended period of worship, and I was very contemplative in that space. And two people I'd never met before approached me and asked if they could pray for me. And so I said yes, and that was it. And they started praying specifically about the circumstances of my life, which was just honestly scared me a little bit because it was so Spirit-inspired. And I don't know that I'd ever encountered the Spirit so deeply and tangibly in that way. And as soon as they finished praying, the gentleman that was praying for me said, then I feel like I'm receiving a sign from God, and I see your feet in concrete blocks, and He's telling you to stay put. And my mouth
wow.
just stopped. Like, what? I didn't grow up in a charismatic home or anything, so this was just so amazing and such clarity from God. And I knew, okay, God, you have plans here. And I knew that I was staying for a reason. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and it was a month or two after that we started Replanted. To really engage the local church to show up and love our foster and adoptive families well. So
what led that piece of it? What led you to really say, I'm doing this, I'm establishing this organization called Replanted?
Yeah, that's a great question, Sandra. So I, honestly, working in the foster care system really opened my eyes to the realities that our families were going through. These kids have experienced deep trauma, and with trauma comes a lot of emotional and behavioral issues with our kiddos, and it's not because they're bad kids. It's because they are responding to situations and experiences that they have had. And so I just saw these beautiful foster parents loving these kiddos and just being really kind of, getting really weary with the journey. It was really hard. There was no quick fix when it comes to trauma. And so there's just a long healing process that takes place. And I just kept thinking, where is the church in all of this? And it was that summer that I was at a farewell party for a friend of mine. And I started talking with one of the deacons from our church who was an adult adoptee. And he said, hey, Jen, like, what do you think is the church's role in this? And so I raffled off all these ideas because I feel like the church really does need to show up with these kiddos and with the parents. The church is, you know, can be really good at saying, like, hey, the call to adopt or foster is beautiful. It's a reflection of the heart of God. But not very often do churches show up in the trenches and in the aftermath and the post-placement support part of that journey. And so I was just seeing churches not doing a great job showing up in those trenches and felt like we need to do more. And so we decided to do more. So myself and a few others in the Chicagoland area got together and we started dreaming up ways that we could really support families well and really mobilize the local church to do that well. And so we started Replanted.
Wonderful. So Jen, let's dive a little deeper into that. Why is this ministry to vulnerable children and families, foster families especially, why is this ministry in the church so important?
Yeah, I really believe that, you know, all throughout scripture, you see the cause of the fatherless is so important to the heart of God. You know, there's references to the orphan, the fatherless, the widow, all over. And the reality is that many of our foster and adoptive families are struggling and they feel really alone. And the church should be the one place where people feel really deeply loved and accepted right where they are at. We have a lot of families where marriages are falling apart. You know, parenting kids with trauma can be really hard and exhausting. You know, I was just talking with a dad actually who was saying they felt like they had no support. You know, they needed some breaks, self-care time. Their gas tank was on empty and they felt like there was nobody willing or able to come alongside them to provide that. And I just feel like as the church, we have a beautiful opportunity to be the hands and feet of Christ to our families. Mm-hmm. Adoptive and foster parenting is a unique journey. It's different. Raising kids with trauma or special needs, you know, imagine foster parents even. A foster sibling group comes into your home and you care for them as your own children for 2 years and then they're returned home. There's immense grief and loss there. And so there's so much emotion and feeling and difficulty that can come along with that journey. And so one thing that always comes to my mind is, you know, when Jesus said, let the little children come mm-hmm. to me, he was very embracing and loving and accepting. And that's something our families really need is unconditional love, acceptance, and grace in the circumstances that they're going through. I was reflecting on this. My pastor this past Sunday was preaching on the Good Samaritan, mm-hmm. which I think was just another reminder, right?
Yeah.
When we're called to love the Lord our God with all our might and strength. But he doesn't end there. He says, and to love your neighbor as mm-hmm. yourself, right? And when we think about that, who is my neighbor? You get this parable, right, of the priest and Levite who saw the man beaten and left for dead on the side of the road. And what did they do? They crossed to the other side of the mm-hmm. road and kind of walked around him, right?
Right.
But then a Samaritan comes along and he takes care of that wounded man and goes above and beyond. You know, he doesn't just wrap his wounds and with bandages. He gives an innkeeper money and like goes above and beyond with loving him. And Jesus said, who is the neighbor to this man, right? And it was the Samaritan, but he says, go and do likewise. And I think that phrase is really powerful. Go and do likewise. We have a really beautiful opportunity to be that good Samaritan to our families, not just say, it's too hard, your kid's trauma is too much for me, and I'm going to walk on the other side of that road, but to say, hey, I'm going to show up. I'm going to love you and your family, and I'm going to be there consistently and persevere with you, and I'm going to go above and beyond. And so I think that call of go and do likewise is a really beautiful way that the church can step in and say, hey, we take this seriously. The cause of the fatherless is important to us, and that means showing up in the trenches with our families as they're struggling.
Yeah, ministry is messy, really. Hands-on
yeah.
ministry is messy, but that's what Jesus did. Jesus was hands-on with us. And mm-hmm. and I can testify to the fact that it is a lonely place. We're an adoptive family. We have children who've experienced trauma. We've got kids with special needs, and it can be a very lonely place when there isn't support, when your own congregation doesn't get it and isn't there to support you. And so that is key. Congregations can actually play a key role in helping a family to be successful, to continue on this journey to parent children from hard places. Because Not everybody's going to bring children into their homes, but those who do need to be supported by the rest of us.
Yeah. Oh, I so agree with that. And Sandra, you know, sometimes actually the church has even been a place of kind of hurt for some of our families. Mm-hmm. Because there isn't an understanding of trauma or the uniqueness of the foster adoptive journey. And so sometimes the church can feel a little more isolating or lonely. You know, I've heard stories of foster families saying like, hey, they asked us not to bring our kids back to Sunday school anymore because they just didn't know how to meet the behavioral and emotional needs, mm-hmm. you know. And in my mind, that's just really heartbreaking, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, man, the church should be the one place where we're like, hey, we got you. We're ready. We're going to, you know, we're going to be resourced, and we're going to understand trauma, and we're going to show up and love you well, you know, but sometimes that's just not the reality. Or sometimes too, we can be judgmental or critical, right, of how people are parenting, or what we can kind of from the outside in look at like, oh, that kid just had like a temper tantrum for an hour and a half, you know, that must be a parenting issue, right?
Right.
Instead of an understanding of, hey, that child was sexually abused for a lot of their lives. And so this is a trauma issue, not a bad child issue, parenting issue, you know? And so I just feel like the church, my heart is so about the church equipping our families, loving them, and being a place of grace and loving our families where they are at. But out of that grace, because we've received it and we know what that grace feels like. We've received it from God and we're able to give it to others. And so my heart is that the church will just have that posture always when it comes to supporting our families.
I love that. And Replanted helps churches across the country, really, to establish small groups to support foster and adopted children and families within their congregation. So, Jen, how does the small group thing work?
Yeah, so we realized that we can't take away the difficulty of the circumstances, like I said, but we can help move our families from survival mode into thriving, and support is a really beautiful way to do that. So we create opportunities for our families to connect with one another through small groups. And these are emotional faith-based groups where families can come together and share their stories and have moments where they can say, like, me too, I understand what you're feeling, I understand what you're going through. And same with our kiddos, because, you know, I worked in foster care for a while, and I had some kiddos that were just like, they did not want people to know they were a foster child. There was so much, like, shame and stigma associated with that, and so they felt like they had to hide it and mask it. And so coming into groups with other fellow foster and adoptive families where they can say, oh, me too, I'm a foster child as well, or, hey, I'm part of a transracial family, or I'm a biological child and, you know, we've brought in a foster child that has lots of trauma and that impacts me too, but that they can have all these moments where they can walk alongside one another and build deep, life-giving relationships. Mm. So that's our heart, is to mobilize the local church, empower local leaders to say, hey, we're going to provide the support opportunity for our families because we know it's so vital. I've had many parents say like, oh, I came to a group and I was able to share authentically what was going on in my heart, and I didn't have to justify it or give rationale, you know, or, you know, I've had parents say like, I was able to come to a group and say, I'm having a really hard time loving my child today, and not be judged, but know like, hey, it's been a rough day and we understand what that trauma looks like. And so what they're saying makes sense. They do love their children, right, like abundantly, more than we could fathom, right? But there's just this understanding that and safety that people can experience together that allows them to be vulnerable. And that really becomes a lifeline for our families. So our groups then, the purpose really is to connect families with one another and kids with one another, and they're discipleship oriented. So we want our families to come together and be able to share what's going on, but we don't want them to be stuck there either. So our whole heart with our groups is that when a family comes to a Replanted group, they leave feeling more supported, more encouraged, and closer to Jesus than when they first arrived.
Mm.
And that's a big deal because some of our parents are coming in really weary. They have barely made it to group that night because it's been so chaotic. And so we really take this discipleship piece seriously. We want them to know the love of Christ and the hope in Christ and be in relationship with each other in that way. Does that kind of touch on everything, Sandra?
I think so. Now, there's kind of three parts, right, to the small group, or three things you try to accomplish. Can you share those three things?
Yeah. So with with the ministry model in general, we know that support is key. And so we kind of divide it into three areas of support. One is emotional faith-based support, which is these groups. The other is informational support, and that we look at as like trauma trainings and things like that. And then the other is the tangible support. And so that's like parents' night out, you know, respite care, just tangible resources. You know, if a foster child comes into your home and you don't have, you don't have items for a 10-year-old boy, that there would be resources available to you as well. These are really important things when we consider supporting families well, is that we don't focus just on one, but we're able to provide all three to families that are in need. And so with that, then, kind of the three areas that we focus on for our groups is that our groups are always about grace, they're about safety, and they're about vulnerability. So we want our families to be able, a lot of them have been in isolation and have felt very alone for a long time and maybe have felt hurt by the support that they've received in the past. And so we don't ever want that to be the case with our families. We want them to know when they come to a group, this is a safe place.
Yeah.
And it's a safe place for their kids. So we provide trainings for facilitators. We provide curriculum for the facilitators. And then we also do child trauma training because I want kids to feel safe and I want them to have consistent mentorship in their lives because this is about relationship. And so that means for us to love families well, we need to understand trauma to be able to love their children well. And so we do all those things. And we provide that model to other communities because we, again, we want to mobilize the local church and empower local leaders to do this work. And so we provide those opportunities for churches to engage.
So, and our listeners, if they're interested in learning more about having one of these replanted small groups at their church, they can learn more on your website?
Yep. So it's www.replantedministry.org. And there's different options there. If you're interested in wanting to start a group or just even see what it's about, there's a button that you can click and you can fill out an application and then we will be in touch with you.
Wonderful. So another important ministry really in support and encouragement to foster and adoptive families is the Refresh Conference that you host every year. So can you tell us about the Refresh Conference?
Yeah, so the Refresh Conference originated in the West Coast at Overlake Community Church in Redmond, Washington. And the founders and I got connected because they had felt like they were bringing people together in this really beautiful conference, but wanted their families to have support year-round and not just return back to isolation. And we were doing the group, so we said, hey, can we swap? Because this conference is a really beautiful opportunity to bring families in and love on them so well. And so we replicate that conference in Chicago, and it's October 5th and 6th of this year. And it's really, a conference doesn't do it justice. I really consider it more like a retreat, but it's really an invitation to our foster and adoptive parents specifically, and also kinship providers, professionals, or anyone who says, hey, this cause is important to me and I want to learn more and I want to be in this more. This is for everyone. And it really is an opportunity to come together in community. We do pampering. We do no-way gifts, like just little ways that the community can get involved to like help our family say like, no way, I can't believe they did this for me. We do a host of breakouts and main stage sessions that are about just loving on and equipping our families. You know, we have Ann Boskamp coming, Wes Stafford, Dr. Wow. Ira Kasnoff for anyone that's raising kids that were substance exposed. We have Jason Johnson coming in and doing a pre-conference on equipping your church for orphan care. So if you're like, hey, we want to get involved, we're just not sure where to start, there's pre-conferences around that. So our heart is really to just like bring the church together, bring communities together in this shared endeavor and partnership with one another as we just seek to love our kids well and invest in our parents.
Oh, I love it. So that's in Chicago this October 5th and 6th, 2018.
Yeah.
And the information on that is also on your website at replantedministry.org?
Yep. Just on the page, there'll be a refresh button. Just click that and you can learn more.
Wonderful. So Jen, can you share a story, a success story or a testimony about how, you know, maybe through your small groups that families have been really served successfully?
Yeah, so I have a few different stories that I'd love to share. there was one, we helped launch a group in the West Coast, and I was talking with the facilitator, and she had shared that there was a woman that came to group who actually had pretty good support network around her. And however, she came into the group, and before they had even really started the group, she was just brought to tears because she just was like, this, I know this is a safe place. I can really truly share authentically what this journey has been like for me, the effects it's had on me and my kids in a real way, and be supported well. And so before the group even started, she was moved to tears. You know, I've had families say, I didn't even realize I needed this kind of support until I joined a group, and now it's become a lifeline. And so, you know, the thing that brings me the most joy is I see these families meeting one another in groups and finding fellow adoptive and foster families that are on similar journeys, and they're becoming best friends. You know, I've had so many people say, like, I found my best friend in this group, you know, and kids, we saw our kiddos. I had one family, the kids called me and they're like, when's our next replanted group? Because they were so excited to be with their friends. They wanted to have more opportunities to connect with their friends that they met in group because they understood their journey in a more unique way. And so, you know, as a result of these groups, we really just see this as a conduit that if replanted disappeared, that these families would continue being in relationship with each other. And so we see our families going on play dates. You know, we had one group that was meeting, and we provide context for once a month groups. And they were like, we want to meet every week. And so they took the initiative and said, we're going to make our own small group the other 3 weeks until our next replanted group, which I was just like, yes, this is exactly what we want. And so these are really becoming life-giving, lifelong relationships that our parents are developing with each other, that our kids are developing with each other. And I think the need, Sandra, is really, you know, we started one group back in May of 2012, and we quickly grew to 10 in the Chicago area.
Wow.
And it's not because we planted this awesome ministry. It's because our parents and our kids were so longing to be in relationship with one another that there was a need that we were able to meet in that way. And so these groups just kept filling up. I think that there's really beautiful opportunities there. You know, I can think too, I had a little girl that I was counseling for a while who had been sexually abused by her mother's paramour. And she went into a Christian foster home, and this family became part of Replanted. And this little girl, over the course of this time, she was getting ready to reunify with her birth mom. And she said to me, Miss Jen, we're writing this like storybook together. So I just said, you know, let's start it with Once Upon a Time. And then you just tell me what you want in this book. And so she starts writing, not about, you know, her experiences or the abuse she experienced. She started saying, I'm so grateful to my foster family because they taught me about Jesus. And I hope Jesus doesn't forget about me when I return home to my mom. And I was just like, wow, you know, like this little girl came to love Jesus. She was surrounded by love and support. We were able to print out her favorite Christian songs and just write a little prayer that she was able to take back with her. And so there's opportunities there to minister to our children as well and love on them well, regardless of whether they stay and are adopted or whether they're reunified with their birth parents. We're making a difference, and that's important.
Yeah, I love that. So as we wrap up here, Jen, what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to take away from listening to this conversation today?
Yeah, I think one of my big things is Jason Johnson has this quote that I really love. We're not all called to foster or adopt, but we're all capable of doing something. What's your something? And so I would really encourage listeners right now, if you're hearing this and you're like, man, I didn't even realize this was a hard journey for foster and adoptive families, or you just have a heart for the cause of the fatherless, there's something you can do. And so what is your something? I'm not an adoptive or foster parent myself, right? But I have a passion. And so I would encourage you to live into that. Listen to the ways that the Lord is stirring your heart. Start small. So maybe it's just providing tangible support. Maybe it's providing respite care and saying like, hey, I'm going to love on a family and I'm going to invest in those kids and I'm going to do it consistently, you know, but what is your something? What is something that you can do tangibly? You know, like I said, that go and do likewise. What is that? I think too, I would really encourage listeners to just show up in the hard parts of the journey with our foster and adoptive families. Mm. Sometimes we're quick to give advice, so we want to fix it, right? We see people we love that are hurting, and we want to do something to take that hurt away. We want to make it better. However, when it comes to this journey, it's long, and there is no quick fix. And so oftentimes when we give advice or we're quick to speak, it can feel invalidating of the reality of how difficult this journey can be. And so I would really encourage listeners who are wanting to support families to just come in with grace and being consistent. You can't fix it, but you can sit in those hard places. You can empathize, and you can be a shoulder to cry on, and you can love on them in really intentional ways, but be consistent.
Yeah.
And also I would say too, be informed. There are a lot of opportunities to understand trauma from an adoptive or foster perspective. You know, there's the Empowered to Connect conference or simulcast. There's a lot of different opportunities. So I would say, also be informed, right? Because that's going to help empower you to walk alongside the families for the long haul. Mm. Our kids have experienced a lot of abandonment and people in and out of their lives. And so I would really caution, like, we don't want this to be a one and done, you know,
right.
Where you maybe encourage a family and take the kids on a play date and that it's a one-time experience. We really want this to be about relationship and consistency and empowering families and yourselves as well.
Wonderful. So. Jen, thank you for your work on behalf of children and families, and thank you for sharing your story today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Sandra. It was great to chat.
It was a pleasure. And to learn more about Jen's ministry, visit their website at replantedministry.org. And thank you for listening to this episode of Orphans No More. You can find more shows on our website at justicefororphansny.org and as our podcast by searching for the show by name, Orphans No More. I'm Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans. Our mission is to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. We inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27 by adoption, foster care, and orphan care ministry. To learn more or to contact me to speak at your church or event, visit our website. Again, that's justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.